So you are still married. That's why you're wearing the band. I mean, because you're still, yeah.
In a certain way, yeah.
Hello, you're about to meet the gorgeous Naomi, who's from France, and she's made a very interesting decision in her life to leave her husband and basically pursue this path that got me really questioning. And she was kind enough to let me really grill her on this. So it really got me thinking, and I hope it gets you thinking as well. So enjoy Naomi and enjoy the question mark.
What's wrong?
So French.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh,
that's fine. Look at that. Oh.
Oh.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You want to try?
Maybe a sip. Just a little sip.
Drink the caramel.
Opa. Okay, let me try the caramel. Let me green. Did I drop some?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, in your t-shirt.
On my t-shirt. Aww.
Oh, you have a souvenir now.
A souvenir of French coffee. Caramel. Great.
Do you like it?
My souvenir?
No, the coffee.
Oh, the coffee. Not happy about the souvenir, but happy about the coffee. Yeah, love coffee. Can't drink it. I'm very ADD. So if I drink coffee, then my thoughts are like everywhere,
okay.
like 10 a second. Yeah.
I'm more like, I need coffee now, because, yeah, I need help to wake up.
Yeah, it was really fun dancing with you the other night. It was...
I love dance.
I noticed. Wow, you're really good too.
Yeah, I mean, it's my way to express my feeling or just finish my day and release all the thing I, yeah, you know, just go to the bed and feel complete. I don't know how to explain that, but that really helped me to feel better. I love dancing.
Yeah.
Some people really love yoga or meditation or do some sport, and I prefer dancing.
Opa, here we go. There we go. Now we're talking. This is the old English breakfast. My parents come from the colonies.
Mother from Kenya, dad from Tanzania, so very colonial. My dad's half Swiss, so that's why I'm living in Switzerland. So, yeah, a little bit about me. I think we should just eat. What do you think? Okay.
Later that morning. This is a story that I know from the Happy Hippo. It's from a movie called Along Came Polly, where this guy it's with there's this guy called Ruben.
I did nothing, Lubin.
My name is not Lubin.
I battled to say the French, but his name is Ruben, and he says, and he's just slept with the guy's wife, and he says, do you know the story of the? He says, think about the Ippo, the Happy Ippo. And he's like, because he's just slept with his wife. So he says, but be more like the Ippo.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Like the story of the Hippo.
Because before the Ippo, he wasn't happy. He wanted to be like a zebra. You know,
yeah,
so then he put the stripes on himself. But he still, he was not happy because everyone said, why are you putting stripes on yourself? And then he was still not happy. And then he thought maybe if he starts to bite everyone like the lion, you know, maybe if he bites everyone, then he'd be happy. And then
that didn't work.
It didn't work. Yeah. Now he's speaking in a French accent in this movie, right?
Yeah.
He's speaking to the guy that he's just slept with his on honeymoon. He slept with his wife, right? So he says, but try and be more like the Ippo. Try and be more like the Ippo, you know. And this guy's like, What the fuck do you mean the hippo? You know, like, what do you mean the hippo? So, and then he's telling the story about the hippo that was never happy. And then one day, the hippo decided
to be a hippo.
Yeah. And after that, he was happy. And that's where the saying comes from, happy as a hippo.
And then, what is the husband?
Then the husband just was like, I'm gonna kill you. Like, yeah. Yeah, I just wanna know your philosophy on dancing. I mean, what's up with the dancing?
As I say, I really love dancing because that make me feel good. And in that way, I can express myself and just let my feeling go out before coming home. Yeah. And I feel stressless.
Yeah.
I feel happy. Because, you know, when you dance, you have this
happy hormone. Happy as hippo.
Yeah, happy hippo.
Like a happy hippo.
Happy hippo, yeah. Yeah, that made like, me feel like, really happy.
Robin from Along Came Polly. I really encourage people to see this movie. It's one of the best movies of all time. Like, if you're into rom-coms and you like Adam Sandler, what's his name? Bill. What's that? Anyway, he's an American, very funny guy. It'll come to me. I'm feeling embarrassed now that I forgot his name because he's one of my heroes. So you love to dance, and you said to me that you don't have to do much other exercise because dancing is like exercise for you, yeah. And it's so good for you. Like, I'm going to tell you a story now.
Okay.
Okay, because you've been telling me stories. And a patient that I once had, right?
Okay.
And he was a guitarist in a blues and like a jazz band.
Okay.
Just get comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was a guitarist in a jazz band.
Mm-hmm.
And his low back, he was in his late 40s, and his low back was the back of an 18-year-old. Like, seriously, he had, his low back was, and as a chiropractor, you learn over the years to get the feeling for joints that kind of get locked up because of lack of movement. It's basically like joints need to move.
Yeah.
And your spine, there's parts of your spine, like especially the upper part over here, or your lower spine, like you're on the right side over there, that can tighten up, and then over time it actually gets tighter and tighter, and then eventually it calcifies.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not a good thing. That's why chiropractors always have work to do. They always have a job. So this guy had at 48, he had the low back of like an 18-year-old, low back. And I said, what do you do? Like, what do you do? And he told me what job he did. And I was like, okay, that's sitting behind a computer all day. I said, that's impossible. That's completely impossible.
Yeah.
And then eventually it turned out that three nights a week, he plays in this blues band, or jazz band. Yeah, it's just a band, basically. And he, just from moving, just from dancing, his low back was just this like really, just because the random movement of dancing was so good for his joints that his low back was amazing. Now, obviously his upper back wasn't great because he had to hold a guitar.
Yeah.
But now, it made me realize that dancing is probably the best thing for your spine of all time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I dance more since I'm in Thailand.
Yeah.
Like every night, almost every night.
Yeah.
And I feel better. Normally I have this back pain in the low part, like L4, L5.
Yeah.
And since teenager. And
wow.
When I dance, I can feel the difference. I can feel the pain gone.
Yeah. So
it's good.
Yeah. So you're going to be putting us chiropractors out of business by this podcast.
If I tell everybody just dancing, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we need more dancing. And it's a tradition. You know, hunter-gatherers all dance around the fire and that sort of thing. I think dancing is in our blood, you know. It's like, and you're never too old to...
Oh, no.
Stop dancing. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I want to see more 80-year-olds dancing. Like, seriously. I used to encourage old people, you know, old people in the practice. I had a large geriatric community where I worked in. I used to encourage them to dance. I was like, hey, just go out and dance somewhere. Even if it's at home, just to music.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to get your spine moving again,
and
you know?
If it's, yeah, little twists move, you know, like.
Yeah. Dun, dun, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. That can be really cool.
And it was really refreshing for me to...
come dancing with me?
Yes, it was really cool. It was hot.
Thailand.
It was very hot. So tell me more about you. So you were, it seems like I've been reading a lot of your Instagram posts, and it seems like you're on this spiritual journey, which really, really interests me. It's fascinating. I was reading your latest post, I think, about just being more in the moment.
Yeah.
And also trusting your instincts. Hey, we were talking about that as well, like just going with your gut.
Yeah.
Which of those would you like to talk about?
Let's start with maybe living in the moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, what? I'm in this moment, actually, living in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, so you're living in the moment right now. Like, right now you're enjoying this moment. Or are you thinking about what you know, what you need to be saying?
No.
So right now you're actually enjoying this moment.
Because I practice.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Since 1 month now, okay. It's easier to live in the moment and just focus on the moment. And I start because when I explain my job, I'm nanny, I'm professional nanny. Mm-hmm. And I love to share with people the way kids enjoy, the way kids enjoy the life.
Yeah.
The kids, children, live in the present only. They didn't care about the past.
Yeah.
They didn't care about the future. And it's something I really love.
Yeah.
Watching what? Them.
Yeah.
It's like we had to learn from them. They are magical. They are really special. And I love them for that. They remind me to live in the present. And because I told everybody this little story, I was like, I had to do that too. I had to try living in the moment.
Like the children that, because you're a professional nanny, because, yeah.
And they are
so much happier than...
Yes, they're always happy. And where they didn't are happy, they just move on super quickly. I mean, if they are tired, they're going to do something, yeah, to tell you, I'm tired, and they're going to sleep. And after that, it's done. They are happy.
Yeah. So then they've slept, and then they wake up, and then they're happy again.
They want to eat something, just eat something, and they are happy.
Yeah.
And I was like, why we didn't act like that? We are baby human, normally.
Yeah.
We just grow up. But maybe not in a good way, because of society. And I mean, when you have a job, you cannot take a nap if you are tired. You have
to like
wait.
To take naps when I'm at work. I used to have like a So in my last clinic, I used to have a little back room that I used to go and take naps, or even on the massage bed. I used to have like massage beds in my room, and I used to just go and take naps between patients, just like 45 minutes.
But we are lucky because I can take a nap too when the baby are sleeping. But not everybody can take a nap at
once. No, I know.
But you can actually, because you can share. Did you like it?
Taking a nap?
Yeah.
It's the best thing.
That make you
it's
happy?
So nice. Make me happy, yeah.
So
actually, sometimes when I'm really tired, I actually wake up grumpy though.
Yeah, maybe because you sleep too much. You know, me too. I wake up first and I was like, oh, it's too early. Let's sleep again. And after that, I wake up grumpy. Like,
yes. Yes, there's actually a bit of science behind that. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I listen to a lot of scientific podcasts. And they say that anything more than an hour during the day, you shouldn't really be doing unless you're recovering from burnout or something like that. And, you know, well, I used to have such a problem with insomnia for like 10 years. I couldn't sleep. While I was a student as well, I was studying. And I couldn't sleep for 6 years while I was studying, and then another 4 years after that. It was a nightmare. But there were other issues. Yeah, I had other issues. I took these magic mushrooms when I was 20, and I was diagnosed as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had anxiety about maybe being crazy while I was a student. And so I'd wake up in the middle of the night with anxiety and think, well, maybe it's because I'm crazy. It's a long story.
That's, yeah, it's tough.
The story is a little bit too long to go in here. But anyway, so you're happy when you act in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And
it's easier because I can live in here and I have time to live in the moment. What I mean, it's like when I was... I mean, I'm lucky because in France also I can listen my rhythm and do what I want to do. So it's easier. But I have some friends, they are in a, you know, office all day long. And with this artificial light, and it's difficult to feel happy, but you had to walk because money give you food and pay your rent or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you are in this rhythm, not really healthy one. And living in the moment in this kind of rhythm seems difficult because you had to wake up at that time because you start your job at that time and you have your lunch time at that time. And it's easier to live in the moment when you listen to your body, your needs, your feelings.
Yeah.
So I came living here to have this spiritual journey and this experience to live in the moment, because in Thailand, I feel it's easier. It's really easier. The rhythm, maybe you can say right or not, the rhythm is different here.
Yeah.
Did you feel the difference?
Well, I always feel that when I come here. Living in the moment is just so much better for the brain, I notice, because you just get to see things and experience things, and it's like opening your eyes for the first time, you know, because we get so caught up in our brains, well, I do at least, get so caught up on like, okay, what questions am I going to ask on the next, or what video am I going to put out next, or how am I going to write this in the book, and you know, and like, you know, it's just continuous, or you know, just other things you get caught up with, and it's just so easy just to get out. You just go look around and you go like, hey, this moment is actually really amazing. Like, why am I bothering with all these other things?
Why am I focused on other things? I can leave this one. I can leave this moment.
You seem to enjoy all your time, which...
Because I don't have a lot of expectation. And that helps. Without expectation, I'm not disappointed. So...
But how can you not have expectation? How is that possible? I mean, surely you expect a better life. I mean, everybody expects a better life.
No, I really love my life. And I'm grateful. I think grateful help also to don't have a lot of expectation. Because if you are already grateful to be here, to be alive, to be loved, I don't need a lot of things to be happy.
I've learned the hard way, you know, that's, you know, for me, it was all about achievement, you know, like if I can be world champion windsurfer, you know, when I was young, when I was 9 years old, when windsurfing was as big as surfing, you know, it was actually the fastest growing sport in the world.
Yeah.
It's showing how old I am. But anyway, so it was like, if I can become world champion, then I'll be happy, you know, and then.
Yeah, because you put your happiness on the.
On a pedestal,
my happiness is here. I'm here. I had to go.
Yes. No, so you caught somewhere between there, yeah, which is not.
How can I explain that? I start at the bottom. I mean, I'm from poor family, mm-hmm. and we never been in holiday together. I go on a camp with other kids or stuff like that. I mean, I love my childhood. I have nothing to say bad about that. But because I start at the bottom and I learn, like, even if you don't have a lot of money, you can realize your dream. I start to save my money a bit every month. And I had, at 20 years old, this first wake up, spiritually speaking. Like, okay, I didn't have a lot of money, but I want to travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do a 1 year world tour trip.
1 year world tour?
Yeah.
That. All right. Yes, that's, yes.
With the minimum salary in France. So just saving money, not go to the restaurant, not go to the cinema, not do shopping.
Not drink too much alcohol.
Not drink
that's
too much alcohol. Yeah. Stop smoking, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, French are known for smoking.
I mean, I start really young, like 12. And I stopped at 24.
Wow.
Yeah. Because my little sister asked me since how long I'm smoking. And I was quick calculating and I said, oh, half of my life. So I had to stop.
Oh, half of your life you were smoking when you were 24.
Mm.
And that was 2 years ago? You're 26 now?
No, thank you. That was 35.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't look it.
Thank you.
I'm blushing now. Or maybe it's the sunburn. I don't know. No, you definitely don't look 35. Wow. You,
happiness.
It's happiness, really. Mm-hmm. Is that the secret? And it's also, okay, I've noticed here, the French, I came back, I went for a swim, and I came back, and I saw these French guys, and I greeted them, and they were just chatting. So I said, hey, what are you guys up to? They said, oh, no, we're just talking. And I said, like, oh, you wake up early. They said, no, we started talking last night. They had stayed up the whole night talking, just talking.
Okay.
And for me, this is like just two guys. And they say, well, you only live once, you know. And yeah, we can sleep, but we like to talk. So, and I see that a lot, and because, of course, there's Germans and there's French and there's me, who's like a mixture, and then there's Italians. But the French seem to love just staying up all night, like a whole lot of them. Just because...
Just chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another story as well, which I don't know how valid this is, but this is something that I've definitely heard from multiple sources, is that, you know, that the whole thing about cholesterol, right? Cholesterol used to be the enemy.
Cholesterol.
Yeah. So cholesterol used to be the enemy. Now, because high cholesterol meant high heart attacks. But what they didn't include was the French. Now, the French have low heart attacks and high cholesterol.
Yeah, we put butter everywhere.
Yeah, put butter everywhere. You had a croissant for breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh, the French move a lot, and they like to have a sleep, and they drink a bit of wine, and they...
Like Italian people.
Generally enjoy life more than, like, your American and your English and your Germans.
I think so, yeah.
I think the French have maybe mastered the art of enjoying life.
Italian people, too.
Italian people too, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you like Italian? Yeah.
Italian, Spanish, I mean, in the South.
Oh, yeah.
We love, dancing, drink a wine, enjoy life.
Food, siesta.
Siesta, yeah.
And friends. Friends are...
For me, it's important to have some friends, to share. Share a drink, share a food, share dancing, yeah.
Have you ever, I doubt it, but there was this guy called Epicurus. Who was alive before Christianity, and he was a philosopher, and his theory was that nothing brings you happiness in the long term besides friendship. That like everything has like a half-life, like everything declines slowly over time. The only thing is relationships that persevere throughout your life. And he actually became so famous because his philosophy as well also included people living together, which I think would be so good for this day and age where a lot of people are lonely and a lot of people are on antidepressants. So you were telling me earlier about your life in France and and you're still married? You are?
We are in procedure of divorce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But you still wear your wedding band?
Yeah.
And you were saying that just helps to remind you that... Well, it reminds you where your left hand is, firstly.
Why I came here? Why just let everything go in France?
Yeah.
Because I came here in November, in Thailand.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel... I always feel something when I'm in Thailand. It's the third time I came here. And this time I feel I had to be alone. But I was married with this Colombian guy named Sebastian.
Yeah. And you're saying he's such a nice guy. He's like a good guy.
He is a good husband. He's a good guy. He's a good confidant. He's really good. But...
And he's doing his PhD in France.
Mm-hmm.
So he's clever.
He is.
And he's probably very handsome as well.
He's and talented. He plays talented, guitar.
Intelligent.
He composed some music.
And he probably cooks as well.
Yikes.
Oh, no. And Naomi, what happened?
I feel I had to experience life alone.
Oh, yeah?
Like, try to know better myself without any husband or boyfriend or man around me.
Yeah.
Because I'm this kind of person. When I love, I give you everything, like all my time, all my attention, all my love, all my money, I'm full in the relationship. So for time, sometimes I just forgot myself.
Yeah.
You know? And
So you forgot who you were and you became who you thought he wanted you to be.
No, not he wants to, but the version of myself I want to be for him.
Oh, I see.
It's different. It's not expectation about him. It's expectation about how I want to be when I'm with somebody.
And you couldn't work on that while you were married, like in the relationship?
No, because my intention go for him. Like, I wake up and I think about him, so I just go in the kitchen, start to make coffee, and bring him the coffee on the bed, and say, hey, honey, how are you? Did you sleep well?
Yeah.
It's like that. We're living like that. Like, always wondering his needs.
Yeah, and you couldn't change, like, you couldn't adapt to try to be more... Well, you were saying
it's different because when you are in relationship, you compromise, right?
Yeah.
You compromise everything. I mean, always. You had to. Yeah. So for this reason, I cannot do this kind of work.
Oh, the spiritual.
With him. Yeah. I had to be alone. I had to sometimes crying in my home and say, okay, now I feel lonely, but in a good way, I'm going to do that for me and this thing for me. And it's all for me.
Yeah.
And only for me. I didn't compromise. So okay. Was really difficult, was a brutal and a deep decision.
Yeah. It's not something you take lightly.
No. But I'm grateful. I feel good. I feel in a good moment, in a good place to doing that.
You also mentioned that that you just had this gut feeling that this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That you always trust your gut.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that? Can you speak more about that?
About my intuition.
Yeah, about your intuition. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, was it... So you said it was a fairly easy decision to ask for a divorce or to ask for a separation at least?
Was... Oh, okay. Not... easy, but I share with my husband that my intuition pushed me to come here.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, but I feel I had to go in Thailand by myself and I didn't ask you to follow me because I think it's not a good idea. So I prefer to tell you the truth. I'm gonna go alone and I need to feel free, like really free to do what I want to do. So for this reason, I had to break up with you. And
yeah.
If I want to feel fully free, I had to also ask for the divorce.
Wow.
It was difficult for him and for me too, but for him to understand first, to accept. But because he's a good man, he understands. And he tell me, yeah, just go. I don't want to hear about you anymore because it's difficult. So we don't have any communication together now.
Wow.
But before I leave, he told me, I hope you're going to be happy and you doing the good choice.
And you were talking about the book Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
Her journey, Elizabeth Gilbert's journey. That kind of inspired you to actually help you to make that decision.
That's true. I find this book in a hostel in Chiang Rai. So I was in Thailand.
Yeah.
I finished a book speaking about ego. And,
yeah.
You know, it's the kind of book helping you to develop your... How could you call that? Even in French, I forget. Développement personnel. You know what I mean when I say développement personnel?
This yeah, is yeah.
a book helping you.
It's like
to...
a self-help book, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I just finished the one speaking about ego, and I find Eat, Pray, Love
mm-hmm.
in this hotel in French. So, easy.
Mm.
Happy me.
Happy
and,
people.
Yeah. I read this book, and that just spoke to me, really. Was like, oh my God, I am in this kind of moment too. I wanna find myself. I want to learn more about me and only me.
Yeah.
And every chapter, I feel closer than her. I feel like I have the same journey.
Yes.
And...
But you didn't go to Italy to eat food.
No, but I mean, I eat good food everywhere I go.
Yeah, okay. You always eat good food,
this right? This part of enjoying life, yeah. Okay, already done.
Already so done. And I then the meditation?
The meditation, yeah. I still meditate at this moment. But not 5 hours like you. It was only 20 minutes, and that actually really helped me.
Yeah.
I start with the guide meditation. You know, you have somebody help you.
Oh, guide, yeah. Yeah, it's better.
It's pretty cool, actually. That gives you the way to focus on something you want to heal.
Yeah.
So, really helped me. And it was the first time for me. And I was this kind of person, you say, to say, oh, meditation is for hippie or stuff like that. And look at me, now I do meditation.
yeah. It's the Thailand glow. Yeah. I've actually got a story about glowing. Yeah, when I moved to Switzerland, for the first 3 weeks, I was actually glowed. Because I felt like for the first time in many years, I could just be myself.
Good.
Yeah. It's really bizarre because I just met people that were more like me, you know, like I'd always been a bit of an outcast, even though I try to fit in so much in my hometown. But when I moved to Switzerland, I just realized, oh, there's other people that are also a little bit weird, you know, like, you know, everyone's a little bit weird, but, and I can hear my brain going, but I'm very weird. No, it's not that. That's just my ego talking.
Sure.
Yeah, we were talking about speaking from the heart as well. No, let me finish that story. So yeah, my face was red, like literally red for about 3 weeks. Like every day it looked like I had really bad sunburn, and okay. I'm really diligent with sun cream because I've been really sunburnt and living in Africa my whole life. So, and everyone was like, you got really sunburned today. I was like, no, something else is going on. And I figured out it's because I could be myself, you know, and it was just so refreshing. I was just like, wow, I can finally just like not have to think so much about, anyway, I'm telling you too much about me. Why am I doing that? I really am.
Yeah. You like sharing with me?
Yeah. I like sharing. I feel like when I was a chiropractor, that was a really good way to get people to open up, is to tell them something really deep about yourself. And then it gets them to tell you, especially with people that weren't healing. Then I would tell them something like really deep and personal about myself, and then they would feel free to open up about themselves, and then I could figure out what the emotional or maybe psychosocial or what's going on at home, you know, that's maybe affecting
the body,
yeah, because it's, you know, of course the brain and the body are one thing, and of course if the body isn't healing, then there's something going on, you know, and so then I'd start sharing stuff with them, and I found it to be a good technique. So maybe I'll use it on podcasts in future. Or maybe it's just the intuition, or maybe it's because I had some cacao powder before you arrived. Maybe.
Intuition. I share with you because I feel comfortable and I want to share this story with you. But if I didn't feel comfortable, I'm not going to share with you just because we had this podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
It's not like... I feel I had to do because we're recording, or because he needs for his work, or because... No. Because I really want to share.
And because it's interesting. I mean, it's...
Maybe.
And, yeah. And it's also figuring yourself out. There's a very popular guy online. I'm not going to mention his name because I actually disagree with a lot of his philosophies. But one of the things he says is that if you don't talk about things, then you actually go crazy. Like if you don't talk about what's going on in your brain. And this, he says, was discovered by Sigmund Freud, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of crazy people were actually healed by just listening to them. You know, like people in sanitariums were actually healed. Like proper psychotic people were healed just because they were given... They were allowed to talk for the first time about whatever.
I agree about that.
Yeah.
I have my experience about that.
Oh, yeah?
I lose a friend when I was a teenager.
Yeah?
And because I cannot really share with my family, he was a drug addict and he died because of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 15 at that time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't find somebody to share my story and just speak about. So mm-hmm. I start to speak to the moon, like every night.
Yeah.
And that really helped me. Just speaking, just letting out what I feel was really helpful and helped me to heal.
That's an incredible story. I mean, I speak to my phone, but I'm worried that all the recordings are going to be made public one day. And some of it's crazy stuff, you know, like, but it's stuff on my mind, you know, it's like really bothering me. And it's like, it's not cool stuff to share.
I'm going to share something really personal with you. Okay, I told you we didn't communicate anymore with Sebastian.
Yeah.
So he blocked me on WhatsApp. Oh. Okay, so no, that's okay. Fine. I still send message to him, like every weeks.
About from other life. WhatsApps?
No, from these WhatsApps. And he cannot read because he actually blocked me. But I keep sending him some picture about my trip or some message or some vocal.
You keep sending him stuff?
Yeah. I give him some news about me.
Wow.
And I know he didn't read my message, but I had to, you know, keep sharing.
So you are still married. That's why you're wearing the band. I mean, because you're still... Yeah.
In a certain way, yeah. I mean, maybe when my lawyer gonna call me and say, you're divorced, it's official.
Yeah.
I start to feel divorced. But I'm still married to Sebastian. I still have feeling for him.
Yeah. But and he sounds like a great guy.
In a good way. It's not like... It's not like I'm crying every day or I feel sad about the situation. I mean,
I have a very controversial question, and you can obviously answer it any way you want. I mean, but after our conversation this morning, I was thinking, I can feel my throat closing up because I fear that I might be pushing your boundaries.
Deep breathe. Try. One more. How you feel?
All right. There could be an argument to the fact that this book, Eat, Pray, Love, could cause more harm than good because it might have caused a lot of divorces, you know?
Yeah, I believe that.
And there's not that many Javier Bardems out there, you know? She was very lucky to meet this guy, you know? So there could be the argument that, I see your eyes watering. I can't even ask this question.
Ask, please. That's interesting.
Do you think that reading this book maybe affected you in a way that made you think that life could be better than maybe it should be?
First, I agree with you. This book, it's not the best one for your marriage. because it pushes you to find yourself. I mean,
yes.
Without your husband.
Yes.
That's true. But in the story, she was unhappy.
Definitely. True. She was, in fact, we spoke about that. I think in the latest version, she
you told me about that.
She doesn't include the night that she had with the knife,
mm-hmm.
which it disappoints me because...
Me too. Well,
yeah, that
now
disappoints
I know
me. Like,
that can be...
She spent a whole knife, A whole night with a knife. And it was that morning that she said, okay, something needs to be done. You know,
it's
that's
tough.
Like, that's how low she got.
Mm-hmm.
And like for me, that's important that she
share.
She, I think she took that out of the book because I've listened to the audiobook recently.
Yeah, I don't remember about the knife.
Yeah,
the book, so
and in the original one, which I read many years ago, she definitely did that.
Okay.
And you can do that now with books. You know, you can keep editing, which is kind of like, I mean, if you read a Hemingway, like he's not going to, I mean, of course he's dead, but he's not going to take it out anyway. But I'm just appeasing you by changing the subject. You were saying.
I'm saying, first, I'm different from her because I was in a happy wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
With Sebastian.
With Sebastian.
Yes.
Doing a PhD in Paris. Okay.
From Colombia.
From Colombia.
Yeah.
So, first, in that way, we are different on the book. But I was focused on the really spiritual part of the book.
Yeah.
Like, I have this pretty easy life, good job, I love. So I'm going to say super nanny. Yeah, I feel super nanny.
You call yourself a super nanny. Yeah, super nanny.
Professional nanny. I really love my job, and I'm happy to know right away when I was a teenager what I want to do in my life. So I really love children, and I already know I'm going to do something with children around me.
So lucky to know your purpose.
Yeah.
Early on.
Feel really lucky because I know some friends, they are adult now, like 30 past, and they didn't know what they want to do. So
it's such a difficult thing. Yeah.
True. So job I love, husband I loved, my apartment was really good too. I live in a city I really like, Marseille, but when I came in China,
so are you a marsupial then? Are you a marsupial from Marseille? Sorry, that's a stupid play on words. Anyway,
I born in Aix-en-Provence.
Okay.
And I go...
No, marsupial is something from Australia.
Like the marsupial army? Like the comics?
Yeah, like the comics. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. But like a kangaroo is a marsupial. Anyway.
You're funny. So, I had this almost perfect package in life. Okay? And I came here.
Yeah.
And as I told you, was normally travel we plane together with Sebastian. But because of the PhD and the lot of work he had to do, he told me he cannot come with me. But he told me also, you can go if you want. And we met again in Colombia for Christmas. So I do this.
Yeah.
I do this travel. alone was my first one. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed my time, like, without any compromise.
Oh.
And that started like that.
Yeah.
And after the book came in my hand, like, universe sign.
Like, sign from the universe.
Yeah. And because I trust my intuition really deeply, really strongly.
Yeah, that seems like one of your superpowers, besides being a super nanny, is trusting your intuition.
Really. And, It's funny because before I leave, I send a message to Sebastian. So I was in Marseille. He was in Marseille. I send a message and I say, do you want to talk with me before I go in Thailand? Mm-hmm. First he said, let me think about that.
Yeah.
And after that, he answered me, yes, okay, we can meet in the coffee.
Ooh. Oh, that's me moving my legs. Yeah.
So we have been in the coffee and we're talking 4 hours together.
4 hours?
4 hours.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And he told me, so it was 2 months after the breakup. And he told me, in those 2 months, I learned a lot about the way you think, like trust your intuition, look at the signs. Before, he didn't saw any signs. And he says, since your breakup with me, now I can catch them.
Oh.
So, in a certain way,
He's growing now.
Yeah. He told me that just before leaving. And I was like, did you talk to me like I'm doing right? Did you feel you grow faster without me? Did you feel that can be good for you? And actually, he said yes. He said he had the heartbreaker.
He had a broken heart.
He told me he lose the thing he really loved, but me. But he feel that can also be good for him.
What a nice guy. Wow.
I know.
I mean, I want to get married to Sebastian.
I know. He's still married to me, so you have to wait.
I have to wait. All right. So, does some part of you think that it might still work out? Like...
I mean, the thing I really feel, it's, I need this time, okay? So I have this time in Thailand, learning to be the better version of myself, to know me better.
Mm-hmm.
If Sebastian is the one, okay?
Yeah.
Universe gonna send me Sebastian.
I trust in that. Yeah.
We're gonna meet again if it's him. And if it's not him, like in the book, I'm gonna find another guy, nice guy. He gonna help me to find what I want in life and what I don't want anymore, and what is my limit, my boundaries, and yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just such a... So, I think it's just such a different time that we live in now, where women have this power to... I don't know, power is the wrong word, but yeah, but I can't think of a better word.
I power feel to leave... Also. Yeah, oh, it's a good role, actually.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't want to sound... Yeah, this is my throat closing up again. I've got a throat problem. Anyway, so we are living in a time now where women are very independent. And before, if you wanted to leave your husband, your parents would have said, no, mm-hmm. we will cut you off. We never want to see you again because this is immoral.
Yeah.
He has done nothing wrong. He has not cheated on you. He has not beaten you.
It's selfish.
He has not. You are being selfish. You are being.
You're right.
And okay, so this is going to be another tough question. I don't know why these tough questions are coming to my brain. Maybe I'm just in a different space today.
Maybe you're just curious.
I am curious. Yeah. So well, thanks for being nice.
I am nice.
So, yeah. Maybe it's because I feel comfortable with your niceness. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But it's another tough question. I have to remember it now.
Did I answer at the last one?
You answered it brilliantly.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was. I remember thinking that's a good answer. It was about your past relationship. And oh no, it was about Eat, Pray, Love and whether Elizabeth Gilbert might have caused more harm than good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that book. Of course, I love Elizabeth Gilbert. She's got it. I love a new book, Signature of All Things, great book. So with previous cultures and with, say, like religion, organized religion, right?
Okay.
So like you would be, to me, you'd be like a new ager, you know, talking about the universe, you know, the universe giving you signs. Whereas in the Bible, it talks about, you know, looking for signs is like a, that would be like an evil thing that comes from the devil.
Yeah.
There are some quotes in the Bible about, you know, reading signs. And then to me, your intuition would equate to the Holy Spirit. So a Christian would say that the Holy Spirit is inside you. And if the Holy Spirit is telling you to move on, then this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the tough question that I had was that with like biblical and with that sort of teachings and with old knowledge, which I feel like we've moved away from nowadays. Like we've moved away from a lot of old knowledge, which we shouldn't ignore is old knowledge. With old knowledge, it's like even Jesus, you know, I'm going to just say, but he said only give your wife a divorce if she's been if she's had an affair, if she's committed adultery. Of course, he's talking to men.
Yeah.
But then of course, he talks about the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'm just... But so what do you think about, what do you think about, I mean, yeah, is that a tough question or was that okay?
It's a good question. Okay, you speak about the Bible, you speak about Holy Spirit, and I'm going to start to say, I feel this Holy Spirit in me since November,
Wow.
I was there in Thailand. I've been there.
So you felt like you had like a new beginning?
It's the first time I feel that, yeah.
Oh.
I grew up in a family, we didn't have any religion.
Yeah.
Habitudes or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Without any faith. So it's all new for me, like meditation, okay?
Yeah.
But first I feel super protected, like I have angel.
Yes.
For sure.
You feel like a presence around you, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, when I speak about powerful or just power, it's because since November, I start to pray.
This is November last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly recent.
It's super recent.
Yeah.
I start to pray. It's like kind of grateful prey.
Yeah.
I start always to say thank you for all the thing I have in my life now and for this awake. Did I say it right? It's like that. Like I just wake up.
Yes, this awakening. Yeah. This awakening that there's more to life than.
And all the sign I receive. So I start to say thank you. And after I pray also for my family, for some protection, for stuff like that. So it's all new. Even the way to pray, I didn't know. I just learned by myself and I use my way to pray. It's like I don't follow.
So your parents never took you to church when you were young?
No,
so
no. I not even baptism.
You, sorry?
I don't have my baptism. How did you say baptism?
Your baptism, maybe?
Yeah, this one.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, you weren't baptized? Mm-mm. Okay, yeah. All right, so...
Now I believe in that. In
Holy baptism?
Holy Spirit. Oh, I mean, angel, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, your soul, so you felt you got in touch with your soul more, like you felt your soul enter you, which
yeah it was deep, it was something interesting,
yeah,
and helped me to have this kind of decision, you know, like just let everything go in and come here.
Yeah.
So first Holy Spirit. Okay, so now I used to pray and believe in the thing I cannot see. Okay. And the question was?
The question was, do you not think that some of this old knowledge should be adhered to? Because with Christianity, there are rules. And with New Age spirituality, the problem with it is there's a lack of rules. And that's why a lot of people can go astray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're also speaking about having an affair or another man
yes,
in your life or living.
Because in the New Testament, yeah.
It's really funny. Because when I start to say at my friends and family, I break up and I'm going to divorce, they always have the same question. Who is he?
Oh.
The other one.
Oh, the other one.
No, I don't have the other one.
Yeah.
I don't cheat my husband. I don't need another man to take this kind of decision.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
I can have this kind of decision by myself. I'm powerful enough.
Yeah.
To doing that.
And your soul really spoke to you, like you knew without any question that this was the right path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in Christian terms, it would be the Holy Spirit revealed itself to you and said, "You need to take a different path."
Yeah, and for this exact reason. Was super difficult to explain people why I do that, you know, because they ask me.
It would be
me,
easier if you explained it in Christian terms. You would just say, well, the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And if you were around other Christians, you would say, well, the Holy Spirit has guided me. Yeah.
I start like that. Like, that gonna seems crazy for you, but I have this sign. Holy Spirit told me to go.
Yeah.
And for... A lot of them, they understand and they are super supportive with me. I had to say that. I have the whole support of my mother first. She's my strength.
Strength.
And my family also and some friends really understand me. Even if they know Sebastian and how good he is with me, they understand. Because they always, I mean, they trust my intuition too.
Ah.
Because I trust my intuition. First, they say.
So you've had intuition since you were young. You've had a powerful sense of intuition
since since I lose my friend Jose. So I start to talk to the moon and.
The one that died.
My,
yes.
Yeah, and my intuition just respond to me.
He
I had to do.
Killed himself, Jose.
Yeah, it was the police say it was a suicide because the. How can I say that? Like the level of the drug he had in his body
was
too high.
Yeah.
So they say it was the last shoot.
What age was he?
Heroin.
Yeah, heroin. Yeah.
Heroin. Yeah.
Heroin. Yeah.
And he was 17 years old.
Oh, 17. Wow. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. I just love the way French people say
Hello.
The hello. Yeah. The hello. Yeah. Sorry, shame, yeah. And he was 7, and you were the same age as well.
15.
Mm-hmm.
I was younger.
Oh, wow. And that's when you started. And then, but have you always had this powerful intuition since before then, or was it when you started talking to the moon?
That really, really came at my 15. Yeah, I remember around my 15. So I don't remember if it's before I lose my friend or in the same time or after, but it was in that moment of my life, 15 years old. I remember wake up first saying, this is my last life. So I want to enjoy every piece of this life.
Yeah.
And having no regrets in my life.
Yeah.
So that start like that. So every opportunity I have to be happy, only my backpack and I'm happy.
Yeah, like April. Like
exactly.
Frank Azaria and Along Came Polly.
Exactly.
Wow, just thank you so much for your time. Hey, it's been really, really, really great to talk to you, and I've learned a lot.
It's good for me too. It's really good to me, for me to remind this kind of things.
Yeah.
Like simple one, you know.
Simple things.
Yeah, simple things. Be happy.
Like yeah. People. Like the ipo.
Yeah.
You
didn't need a lot of things. You didn't need a lot of money. You just need time, experience, met good people, and be nice with you. I really want to insist in that, because when I wake up in the morning, I look at me and I say, you look good. You look happy. I like that.
Yeah, you don't have a face like this. I'm joking.
No, I had a face like this. And I had to deal, too, with some part of my face I didn't like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this one.
Yeah.
But, no, I feel great. I feel great.
Oh, good, good. All right. Thanks so much for your time. And, thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. And bye-bye. Au revoir.
Do you believe that Naomi made the right decision to leave Sebastian in her mid-30s to follow her spiritual path? I don't. And I'll tell you why. I know how powerful the brain is in masquerading, and as masquerading as the inner voice, this as your heart. And this is why I've had so much conflict when it comes to listening to my inner voice, because I know that the brain can override it. And it's the reason why it can be so powerful sometimes, and especially in this case, is let's just look at the facts. She read a book, Eat, Pray, Love. All right. Now, you've probably seen the movie with Julia Roberts and Javier Bardem, right, which is a Cinderella type story. She goes on the spiritual pilgrimage. And at the end, she meets the man of her dreams, this Javier Bardem, which the real character is already divorced by now. But it comes from this, and what I'm talking about, it comes from is her brain, what I believe her brain and my brain as well. I've also fallen into this trap, and many, many spiritual people that I know have fallen into this exact same trap, because they're all very lonely, because you seem to want to feel like you want to work for God for 20 or 30 years, and then all of a sudden you're in your 60s or 70s and going like, where is this person, you know? And it's actually the wrong way around, because now you're actually working for one person. You're not working for God. But there's no judgment about this, because it is, from what I've observed, such a deep need that we all have. This deep need that we have is actually for community. And it comes from during the agricultural revolution, we moved away from community out into the fields and into cities. So we started trading, and there wasn't this sort of egalitarian sort of everyone's equal and everyone supporting each other, which is what we kind of desire and need. And now it's kind of, we try to get that from one person, which is completely impossible to get that from one person. So why this applies to Naomi is because I believe that she wasn't getting that from Sebastian. And of course, no one can get that from a partner, because it's impossible to get a whole community from one partner. It's completely impossible. And that is why my fascination with Epicureanism, you'll meet Steve in future episodes, where he's actually developed his own Epicurean community in the city where he lives, which is fascinating. And how he's done it, it's really brilliant. So I'm excited to share that with you. But
just to recap, it's this deep need that kind of underlies what we believe is our inner voice, what we believe is our purpose. It's this deep need for community, which we actually see and mistakenly see as this deep need for this one perfect unicorn type partner that will fulfill all of our desires and all of our needs, which only a community can do. And this is from childhood. It starts when we observe our own parents, because our own parents have got this need as well that isn't fulfilled by their partners. So we observe it and we start integrating it as our brain's developing. So that's how powerful, or that's how long it's lasted. And this is what I believe what's happened with Naomi. And I know she disagrees with me about that, and she convinced me otherwise at first. And so it took me a while to come up with this conclusion, but I just can't get away from the truth. And I'll be happy to know your theories on this. Thank you.